We're talking with Professor Stephen Zunes, who's been on our show several times before. Last week, the Washington Post released a set of documents that they had sought through Freedom of Information Law for 3 years, which indicated that for the last 18 years of the war in Afghanistan, that the federal government, the president, Pentagon, wasn't exactly telling us the truth about the situation in Afghanistan, and particularly whether or not there's any chance of winning the war. So Stephen, what were some of the real things that you felt that this Washington Post release showed?
Well, on one hand, those of us who follow the situation in Afghanistan over the years are not surprised with the conclusions, but it was actually more damning than I imagined in terms of both the frankness of the recognition of the problems and the variety of people, from high-ranking military officers to various consultants to career diplomats to political appointees. I mean, pretty much everybody who was knowledgeable of the situation was recognizing that it was untenable, and that all the official pronouncements that we've been getting year after year after year of at least of supposed progress in terms of controlling more territory and more of the population, of having the Afghan government cleaning up its act and getting rid of corruption, of the economic development projects of which American taxpayers afford hundreds of billions of dollars. I mean, all these things that were supposedly happening were in fact not happening. They were, if anything, things were getting worse. And so even putting aside many of the controversies around the war regarding its the civilian lives that have lost, the amount of money we put in, the legality of continuing the mandate long after al-Qaeda had been thrown out of the country, there's the whole question that we're not even winning. All of this has been for naught.
Now, as I was driving over to the studio today, one of the things I was thinking about, is there a course in journalism school about how to cover war? And in general, I think most activists know that, our governments always lie about foreign policy, but they really always lie about what's going on in wars. And yet so much of the media seems to sort of spoon feed what they are given by, the government as the situation. Do the reporters really not understand how misleading a lot of the pronouncements are by, our elected officials on the war situation?
It is rather striking, I think, that there has not been more coverage about the failures of the war in Afghanistan, given that they are pretty obvious to people who've spent time there. I mean, I know people who work for a number of NGOs, and a couple of people have actually worked in the State Department, and these have been projects which, sounded pretty good on paper and or indeed had potential, but what they found was a total mess. And a failure of real leadership, not just in terms of the Afghan allies the United States was propping up, but of the U.S. government. I mean, the real problem has been, frankly, that 90% of our attention has been on the military side of the equation and only 10% on everything else. And really, most people I know who know Afghanistan believe it needs to be the opposite. I mean, yes, when you're dealing with extremists like the Taliban, you can't ignore the security aspect of things. But the attention on developing civil society, which is ultimately what's going to make the difference, because we can pay all the money we want to various warlords and political figures and prop them up, but if there's no, and you can even have the formal democratic elections every few years, but if you don't have a strong civil society, if you don't have strong trade unions, peasant leagues, women's organizations, other kinds of human rights professional associations. questions, you know, the kind of things that really create a civil society that can maintain democratic institutions and a kind of government that people are willing to fight for, you're not going to get very far. And instead, what we've had, by just popping up these various corrupt, unpopular, often sectarian, you know, leaders, it is just, and with all that money coming in, the corruption runs rampant. You just end up alienating the population, and you get resistance from that. I mean, a lot of people forget what we call the Taliban is not just it's actually a multitude of rural militia that are sick and tired of the situation and are fighting, and all the counterinsurgency strategies that we may employ are not going to do any good unless we're able to win the hearts and minds of the people. And that was the big lesson from Vietnam,
right?
And we seem to be repeating it.
Now, you know, certainly since, you know, World War II, the United States, you know, has much bigger weapons and stronger weapons than the opposition. So it's certainly not unexpected that any type of conflict, we kill more people because we got better weapons. One thing they haven't talked a lot about, maybe you could briefly touch on, is, you know, so this war's been on for 18 years now, but in fact, it was the United States starting with Carter, but then also continuing Reagan, which really helped contribute to the destabilization of Afghanistan and plunge them into a situation where the warlords were dominant force, and therefore, you know, they then try to get the Taliban to help stabilize the situation. What is the responsibility, or what was the role of the United States in creating strife?
Yeah, well, I mean, certainly the communist coup in that country and the factionalism and the intrigue and murders and counter coups within various factions of the communist leadership, and then the, you know, Soviet invasion. I mean, that was a key, and of course, in setting off the Islamist reaction and the civil war, the resistance that ensued. But the United States made it far worse by arming the Mujahideen, and we ended up supporting the Hekmatyar faction, which was certainly not the largest, but it was the most extremist of the six or seven major Mujahideen operatives, and we did so quite deliberately because they knew that they were the most hard line. They were the least likely to compromise with the communist government or with the Soviets. And our goal was not to liberate Afghanistan from Soviet domination, but essentially to bleed the Soviets dry in a long, drawn-out counterinsurgency war. But it was, of course, the Afghan people who suffered. And when the Soviets finally withdrew and the communist government collapsed 2 years later, and the Mujahideen groups took over, the Hekmatyar faction, which had the most of the U.S. arms, demanded they essentially control things. And when the other members of the coalition said, no, we'll share power, but we won't let you rule things, they ended up launching a new war, you know, surrounding Kabul and these American weapons and lobbing shells and mortars, killing thousands. And the chaos continued for years. Meanwhile, in the refugee camps, students known as Taliban in the Pashtun language, the United States, through Saudi Arabia, had been indoctrinating these refugee children with the most hardcore Salafist theology you can imagine, extreme reactionary interpretation of Islam, and it was out of, and again for the purpose of making them the most radical, most anti-communist possible. But then they rose up and marched in and basically threw out the competing factions and said, "We're going to rule, we'll bring stability." And people were so desperate after years of war, they welcomed them in initially, but then of course they brought in their, you know, totalitarian rule, and then allowed sanctuary for Al Qaeda and after 9/11. And of course, the U.S. came in. But what a lot of people don't forget was that when Congress almost unanimously, say for Congresswoman Barbara Lee, said, U.S. troops go into Afghanistan, it was to get Al Qaeda and get rid of Al Qaeda. We did that within the first several weeks.
Right.
Why are we still in Afghanistan 18 years later? Are there soldiers in Afghanistan who weren't even alive when 9/11 happened?
So let me just step in here for a second. This is we're talking to Professor Stephen Zunez about the situation in Afghanistan. This is Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. So is anything going to change? You know, so is this going to be, you know, a 1 week, you know, news cycle overshadowed by the impeachment and, you know, all the other problems, you know, at the federal level? And, you know, is anything going to actually happen now that, you know, this information is out?
Well, I think only if a piece of human rights activists and those who would like to see the $1 trillion we've spent in Afghanistan so far the money we're sending there be redirected to needs here at home. I think, and of course, the obviously political campaigns can, on one hand, be a distraction from important issues, but they can also be a vehicle. I mean, I think, you know, we should push that during the Democratic debates, town halls, or whatever, we ask the candidates, why are we still in Afghanistan? What are you going to do as commander-in-chief in Afghanistan? And really push this idea that unless you have some good new ideas, we need to get the hell out of there.
Well,
too long.
Professor, we want to thank you for joining us. If people want to follow you, you have a website information?
Yes, you can check me out at stephenzunes.org, STEPHENZUNES, one word, stephenzunes.org. I have a whole list of articles, including some in Afghanistan and recently, but quite a few in earlier periods of the conflict, which your listeners may find of interest.